Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Dov Lipman, a very, very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. It's great to speak to you and to all your listeners, and thank God we're doing real well.
There's been a lot of talk around Barack Obama is back in the spotlight. I'm presuming it's because of the release of his new book. I just wonder if there's something more to it, because all of a sudden he is just about everywhere. So is his wife. But you made some interesting comments about his view and about his understanding of the history of Israel. And I just wanted to hear from you a little bit more detail around that.
Sure. So I'm a person who has never been in the anti-Barack Obama camp. I do not believe he's anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, outright anti-Israel. I've always been thankful to all American presidents for the military and financial assistance which they provide with Israel, as allies should and do. I was quite shocked to read the chapter in Obama's memoir, which has just come out last week, called The Promised Land, where he has a full chapter in chapter 25 focused on Israel. And I read it just to see what he had to say. Mm-hmm. And the very beginning lays out the history of Israel, the way he sees it. And literally paragraph after paragraph, I was seeing something which can only be called revisionist history, complete misleading falsehoods about this beginning of the state of Israel, about the first few decades of the state of Israel. And as I was reading it, I said to myself, whereas I don't feel usually that it's the place of an Israeli politician to comment on an American president or American politics, how can I not write an article to call out every single example of falsehood about Israel's founding, which exists in that chapter, and that without a doubt played a role in some of Obama's policies towards Israel, which certainly Israelis took in a negative light, and it was just critical for it to be out there. So that's why I wrote the piece, which I called Obama's Revisionist Promised Land, because he calls the book The Promised Land, but the part about Israel certainly is revisionist history.
So actually, until now, and in fact, I had this debate on social media. Somebody asked if I would read the book, and I said I couldn't imagine anything more boring. So even if I was given it, I doubt I would read it. Now I'm actually quite interested in this one chapter. I haven't read it at all, but give us some examples of some of the falsehoods or revisionist sentences or comments that he made.
Sure. And I'll give the most glaring ones. And I want to also preface this by saying I am all for debate. I understand that different people have different narratives and see things differently, but there are some things that are just obvious. And one example is he says that how did the state of Israel, how was it founded? He said militias, referring to the Jewish militias, declared victory. And through that came the establishment of the state of Israel. That's not what happened. No one declared victory.
Wow.
We knew for a fact when we were declaring our state that we were going to go into war, and we took that risk based on the UN partition plan in 1947. But it goes further. Then he says that after Israel established a state, the region, we fell into war. We didn't fall into war. The Arab countries ganged up
to
destroy Israel.
It's so classic Obama, though. Some folks somewhere, not being able to call it like it is.
And that's what troubles me, to describe the first three decades of Israel as the Jewish state engaged in conflicts with its Arab neighbors. What a misrepresentation of what the Jewish state is. We don't want to shoot one bullet. We don't want to drop one bomb if the Arabs around us would leave us alone. We're the Israel Defense Forces. We were just fighting for our lives in those three decades. But then I get to, Howard, the most important misleading statement, because this colors every debate I have when I go to college campuses. It is the basis for all of the wrongs that are being done to Israel regarding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Because after he describes the Six-Day War, Obama says that as a result of the Six-Day War, the Palestinian Liberation Organization rose up. And that is such a falsehood. Let me just explain why that's so important. In the world that we live in today, people say, if Israel would just leave the settlements, if they would just leave the West Bank, which they conquered in the Six-Day War, then we would have peace. And the narrative is then that the settlements are the issue, because the settlements are in that region, and that all came after the Six-Day War. My friend, the Palestinian Liberation Organization was established in 1964, 3 years before a Six-Day War, 3 years before there were any settlements. And it's so clear that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is about the existence of Israel itself. And that's the problem the Palestinian leadership had, and nothing to do with settlements in the West Bank. But President Obama writes in his memoir, which will be read by millions and millions of people around the world, that the PLO resulted from the Six-Day War, and that plays right into the false narrative that somehow if we would just leave the West Bank, if we would just get rid of all the settlements, then all would be good in this region, and it's just not correct.
It's so interesting. Have you changed your view now because in truth, I had a very similar view to you. I was certainly never an Obama fan, but I didn't believe that he was anti-Semitic, and I didn't believe that even he would imagine that he is, or that he held a prejudicial view to Israel and to Jews. Even though I think he was an appalling president with regard to the Middle East in general. But does this change your view on him?
It does, but not to the extent that other people might take it to. I do not believe he's an evil person. I do not believe he's anti the Jewish people. And I do believe that he wants to be a friend of the state of Israel. And that when he talks about some of the values of the Jews and Israel that he relates to, I do believe that. However, I do also accept fully that his policies towards Israel were based on an acceptance of a history which is simply not accurate. And therefore you can say that policy-wise, he placed himself with those who tell a false story about Israel's founding and Israel's existence, which plays right into the hands of all of the anti-Israel and anti-Zionist camps. So there's a delicate line over here, but my biggest concern is how the writing of this memoir and writing that history just spreads those lies even further from someone who's supposed to be an authoritative figure, and that is even more distressing. And that is why it was so important to write the article, and I'm going to be honest with you, Howard, my hope is that we spread this article. It can be found on jns.org. You can find it on my Facebook page, on my Twitter feed, and all other places. I wanted to get to the top. I wanted to get to President Obama's people. I want to find a way that it has to be engaged with, because when there's outright falsehoods, there's no laying back and there's no being quiet, and we have to go after those lies and try to expose them for what they are.
Do we know if he penned the book himself?
I do know that he has spent years sitting and writing the book. I have no doubt that people helped him, but there's one thing that's for sure. There's no way that he allowed a full section that builds the premise for his policies in the Middle East to be written by someone else, and somehow it just got by. And I want to say, if it was one sentence here or there, something which was off, I'm willing to accept that. I've written books that there could be mistakes that are made, there could be misunderstandings. But when it's consistent, paragraph after paragraph, in the beginning of that chapter 25, there's no other way to say it other than a person who has a completely wrong understanding of Israel, and that led him to policies which are absolutely anti-Israel in their nature.
A couple of our listeners saying his name is on the book. Who cares who wrote it? Clive saying Obama is a liar. Rene saying if he wants to be a friend of Israel, why did the Prime Minister have to enter through the back door? He once left his mic on and said some terrible things. Look, of course we know all of that, and I think it's naive to think that politicians don't have personal likes and dislikes as well, just as everybody else does. So I'm not sure that whole mic incident, the hot mic incident, should be construed as anything more than the fact that the two, the Benjamin Netanyahu and Obama just completely disliked each other. I think that
there's no doubt. And I'm sorry for interrupting you, Howard. Yeah. And there's no doubt that's true. I don't even get into that. I had some comments about Netanyahu, Obama, this, that, the other. I'm not getting into that. I'm not here taking a stance on Netanyahu. I'm not getting involved in what was clearly a very complex and difficult relationship. And that's why the importance here is for everyone who's listening and everyone who reads my article and shares my article and engages with other people about it. Let's remove all the personalities from the equation.
And I think that's exactly right.
Let's just focus on facts.
And it's sometimes very difficult for us to do that, and we certainly all see that. Those of us who write, our listeners, you have to be able to look at it. What is on the piece of paper? What is on the, what is written? It's this concept that I've explained or that I believe very strongly about is forget everything else. Forget the noise around it. Have a look at what is written and debate that as a factor. Don't bring in the noise. Otherwise you get totally lost, in all of the other sounds that surround it. Look at what he wrote on that in that chapter and go through that and challenge that, from a factual perspective. And I think what you're doing is absolutely right. Do you think that it will be taken seriously? You are a ex-member of Knesset. You are involved in the space. You're a well-known figure. Do you think that it will be taken seriously?
I hope that the nature and the way it was written and, you know, where I come from in terms of my background will enable that to happen. No one can label me as an anti-Obama, anti-Democrat, extremist. We're not getting into any of that area. I've really tried to be a person who's very fair and analyzes things based on exactly how you described it before, what we see in front of us. And I reject people who suggest that somehow there's an outright anti-Semitic sentiment here. So I do hope. I'm trying in various back channels as well to engage in various people with this. I do hope that it makes its way towards the mainstream conversation, because I think it's a conversation that has to be had. And I think that I hope that people who support President Obama strongly will have an open mind in reading this and will also be willing to criticize. You know, I tell people all the time when I travel, I love Israel very much. I'm also willing to accept criticism of Israel.
Of course.
And that's a very fair thing to exist. I'm not against people who criticize our country, and I don't necessarily agree with every decision that's made by our democratically elected government. So at the same time, you can be a President Obama supporter. You can be someone who feels that he was the best president America had. I'm not getting involved in that debate, but also be willing to criticize him if there are things that are outright falsehoods in his book, which impact policy and have real life consequences. A regular college student, a Jewish college student on a college campus right now, when they're fighting for the truth about Israel and supporting the Jewish people and Jewish pride, they now have to contest with the fact that President Obama has written things that are absolutely false about the Jewish state and false about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. That is unfair. And therefore, I hope that even those who support President Obama will join me in criticizing those falsehoods, and let's see if we can get to a point where we even get some acknowledgement of the fact that there are items in that chapter which should have been written differently.
Absolutely right. Former member of Knesset and currently Secretary General of the Confederation of General Zionist Development, thank you for joining us. Have a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom.